Hi. Now, the first reading this morning, if you want to have a look at that Bible under the seat, is on page 1048. And it's Luke 15, 1 to 10, and it's the parable of the lost sheep. Now, the tax gatherers and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." Well, I tell you, in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. And then it goes on to the parable of the lost coin. It says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Amen. Now, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adaiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. And in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrusted to the man appointed to supervise on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also, have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." So then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. Now, when the king heard the words of the book, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Isaiah the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written here concerning us. Now Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem, in the new quarter. And that ends that reading. Thank you.
So I was wondering this morning, what it is that drives you forward? What is it that encourages you to move on to something new? Or have you settled down and decided, I've done everything I want to do, I'm happy with the way things are, and I don't need to change? Well, just think for a moment. If you're out walking somewhere and you see something that intrigues you, and you change direction to find out what it is. And if you can just see in the picture, there's a tiny little hut on the hillside. And you tend to think, I wonder what's in that hut. I'll just go there. And that leads to something new, something different, something that changes your life forever. Have you ever thought that grace from God is just like that? It makes you restless. Ah, now you're intrigued. Grace challenges us, and when we answer its call from God, we move on. We discover a deeper sense of well-being, a moving towards a growing experience of the fullness of Jesus Christ in our lives. Such restless grace is also the driving force behind the wind of change in the scriptures that was read so wonderfully today by Derek. It is the story of extraordinary service by ordinary people. It is being an alternative people as well as offering a better alternative. And it has a number of unexpected features. I almost thought just now of Michael McIntyre, here's the unexpected star of the show. For the key character in the story is none of the ones that Derek read so well, all those names, until you get right to the end, and it's the person called Huldah. Not Josiah the king. And the leaders of the land go to her, and not to the prophets who were active at the time, Zephaniah and Jeremiah. And so we're going to see a whole lot more of Huldah at this pivotal moment in Jewish history. So I asked myself, who was Huldah? And the first thing that I want to say about Huldah is that she is a voice for God. Until this moment, she'd been going quietly about her business as the wife of the king's tailor. Shallum was the keeper of the king's wardrobe, so he was the tailor. And he was in particular demand today because Josiah has just rent his robes because of what he'd heard about what was happening amongst the people of God. And his anguish leads us to Huldah. She is not famous, not powerful, but faithful. Perhaps his presence with the king that day reminded them of her and her reputation as a prophetess. I guess she was known as someone who walked before God and before others with integrity. Day in, day out, she had proved herself to be utterly reliable and completely trustworthy in all matters. She was known to be a person who spent time with God, speaking to him and listening. We need that Huldah legacy. She would know God's mind. What an incredible woman to say that about her. In simply living a godly life, she commanded the respect of the highest religious and civic leaders in the land, and at that pivotal moment in history of Israel, God chose her to speak clearly into their situation. Known for her godly life, known for her reliability, known for spending time with God, such daily preparation is essential in God's will for you to serve him. We must not miss this last moment about her. There are prophets and kings in the Bible who get a few lines, but Huldah is central not only to this story, but her story is told twice in Kings and in Chronicles in full. I wonder what that says about the past history of Christianity, where the men got all the say. Huldah is right there, speaking for God, honestly and truthfully. What about you? And we need to have that legacy today. You don't have to be in a high position to be used by the Lord, only known for your godly life. God uses availability more than position. Being known as reliable will bring people to your door, for God uses character more than status. And like Huldah, you need to regularly spend time with God to know what he is saying. And such daily preparation for God's will is essential, for God uses his preparation more than popularity. A church carpenter was building crates of clothes to send to orphanages in China. On his way home, he reached for his glasses and he found they were gone. They had slipped from his pocket into one of the crates he had already nailed shut. He had brought them that morning for $20 during the Great Depression, so it was a lot of money. Frustrated, he prayed, "Lord, I've been faithful with my time and money. This isn't fair." Months later, a missionary from the orphanage in China visited the carpenter's church. He thanked them for their support. "Most of all, I thank you for the glasses you sent." The communists had destroyed everything, including mine. I couldn't replace them. We prayed, then your crates arrived. And on top was a pair of glasses. When I tried them on, they fit perfectly. They were made for me. The congregation was puzzled. They hadn't sent glasses. But in the back row, the carpenter sat with tears streaming down his face. The master carpenter had used what he thought was a mistake. We are never a mistake in God's economy. You know, we are like tea bags. You don't know how strong you are until you're in hot water. Don't be afraid. Don't be too quick to blame God for a loss. It might just be a miracle in transit. She was someone, Huldah, who confirmed God's word. Josiah sent his advisors with these words, "Go inquire of the Lord concerning the words of this book that has been found." And in response, she states, "Komar Yahweh, this is what the Lord says." She does not hide what God's word says. She doesn't ask, "Do you want the good news or the bad?" She just gives it to them straight and true. Like all the Hebrew prophets, she had a unique understanding of the word of God. That's called the Devar Yahweh. They did not see themselves as mere puppets on a string or wooden mouthpieces from God. They had a vital relationship to the Word of God, and they spoke it and they took that word seriously. They understood that to speak a word of the Lord was to release a living thing into history. This word, once spoken, was set loose to accomplish what God intended it to accomplish. Isaiah said it this way: "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." This is the joyous background to the promises of Jesus to all who have put their trust in him. He has uttered, "They will happen. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will send another comforter just like me. I will come again and take you to be with me." And all the other promises of God are wrapped up in those few. To stand on the promises of God, for the gifts and his call are irrevocable. And prophets like Huldah knew that. They received the words of God, not like secretaries who had taken down what he said and put it in print. It was a living experience in which they used language, poetry, parables and puns. And so it made sense to their audience. Not only did they give shape to the word, the very word shaped them. God at work. What is it like for you when you are rummaging around at home and you find something you thought you had lost long ago? Delighted surprise. Reminiscing. "Oh, I remember that when I saw it last." Cannot wait to tell others about it. And it's the same with God's word. Every time you come across a gem, you want to tell everyone. Just like the shepherd who found his sheep and threw a party. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Ah, right, we're going to have a party now. God at work. Perhaps our time is not dissimilar to that of Huldah. Just imagine the story with me for a moment. Josiah, the king, has begun a temple renovation project. The Jerusalem temple was badly in need of overhauling. His predecessors, grandfather Manasseh and Amon, had constructed altars to other gods in the temple. And they brought in all sorts of things and paraphernalia that defiled it. But Josiah aimed to chart a different course, so he raised money and employed a crack crew of contractors, carpenters, masons, and other workers to restore the temple. But he got more than he bargained for. When it was time to purchase materials, the king sent his secretary Shaphan to get funds from the treasury chest in the temple, where the people had contributed their offerings. But Shaphan returned with something tucked amid the temple clutter that had clearly not been used for a while. It was an old scroll. Shaphan could tell that much by its worn and tattered, encrusted with years of dust and grime, but it was still readable. And Hilkiah had read enough to know what it was and solemnly announced to Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Isn't that staggering? Just imagine if we came into church every Sunday and we couldn't find a Bible. That's what it would be like. And in the pews, well, chairs these days, there are loads of Bibles that you can use and read. And if you haven't got one, just ask me afterwards and you can take one. And read it. Imagine losing the Word of God in the house of God. That's what happened. It teaches us that you can lose the Word of God in the church, in a denomination, in a religious place, living a religious life, doing very religious things. Treasure the Word of God. That's not what had happened in Judah. There was a credibility gap. And we need to make sure it doesn't happen to us. God is looking for his word to be living in the hearts of his people. What is your relationship to the word of the Lord? How has his word shaped us? Have we become so numb in our hearing and our hearts that the word of God cannot reach us, cannot convict us, cannot comfort us? The good news in the story of the Bible is the good news of the gospel, that God is in the business of giving a word, and God is in the business of helping us find that word which we have lost to change us and to make us new and to save us. For God is like a shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes out in search of the one. Are you that one this morning? That God loves so much, he's come to look just for you, to change your life and make it new. If so, speak to somebody this morning who you know has a belief in Jesus, and they will share the joy of salvation with you. God is like a woman who lights a lamp and sweeps the whole house, renovates it in order to find the one coin that she lost because it is so precious. And we read in the scriptures, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and pitched a tent among us. And those who receive this word become children of the living God. We need to receive that word afresh every day for it to make a difference in our lives. Let me just read to you Jesus' words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, says Jesus. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be with me where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And dear old Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Huldah was someone who spoke the truth in love. Huldah doesn't pull her punches. She goes straight for the solar plexus. God does not hold us accountable for our response. God holds people accountable for their response in love. And this she says to the king and to the men he trusted. The importance for God's spokesperson is that they are people who will tell you the truth, not what they think you want to hear. Or what society expects them to say. They are faithful to what they know. Their walk before God and before men is open and honest. They will tell it like it is. They are people of integrity. This is the point I want to add in something. We need people to lead our church. Whether they're men or women, whether they're old or young, we need people of the Holy Spirit to guide our church along with Joel. If God is speaking to you, then speak to one of the church leaders. If God is speaking to you about somebody else, speak to one of the church leaders. We need to strengthen our leadership for God's mission forward here. This is part of this message. For Huldah was relatively unknown. Yet they sent to her, of all people. But note the effect of her words and the words of the book of the law that she upheld. They have prompted a sweeping religious reform that would make Josiah the most pious ruler of all in Judah. Why did this happen? Because she spoke the truth. She affirmed the word of God as authentic. She interprets scripture and its relevance for the present And then she delivers a custom message for the hearers, and in particular the king. Like Esther, Huldah was in the right place to be used for such a time as this. It wasn't a popular message, but it made all the difference, for the king then passed it on to the people. If we have the word of God for ourselves and we don't pass it on, we are failing. We are all missionaries here in Whitley Bay. And the words of assurance that she received, she passes on to the whole populace. Josiah, while not hiding the truth of the dangers coming, he wished to share with them God's compassion for the humble and repentant. Even before he received Huldah's validation of the words he read, he had revealed a responsive heart, shown in an outward tearing of his robes, because his heart was ripped from one side to the other for the obvious sin of himself and his nation. It was as if God said, "The tears you shed have washed you clean, so I will spare you in this lifetime." Because Huldah's message was not popular. You are going to lose the nation. But because of his repentance, he went on to live a good life and lead the nation forward. He was 8 when he came to the throne, and he reigned for 31 years, and he was 26 when all of this occurred, and God gave him 13 years more. What a gift restless grace is. It's vital to see the pattern in this story, because it's repeated several times for the discerning reader. God's word is found, and they read it personally. When was the last time you picked up the Bible to read it personally? That's a challenge this morning, isn't it? It was first read by Hilkiah. He then shared it with Shaphan, who then read it and shared it with the king. The king sends it to Huldah, who reads it and gives it substance. And today, then it is read publicly. Have you ever wondered why we have Bible readings in church every Sunday? It's because we are trying to follow the word of God. And it's read publicly to the people, not just to an individual. And it's promoted amongst the people, and they then pledge themselves to the covenant afresh. That's what every time somebody stands here and shares the word of God, they are asking you to do. Hear it, take it in, pledge yourself to it, and then live it out. For if we don't, we might as well all go home and forget it. Surely that has to be the pattern of us as disciples and ambassadors for Jesus. Read it, share it, live it. So we come to the conclusion of the story. Huldah and Josiah together pose some questions for us today. Are you holy? Are you wise? Are you spiritual? Are you prayerful? Are you courageous? Are you filled with the word of God? Perhaps, but most importantly, are you available for the Lord to use you how he sees fit? That is the key word, available. God at work here. Available to his word each day to do God's living work in you. Available to respond without hesitation to what he calls you to do or where he intends you to go. None of us can ever say, "He has nothing for me to do." Because all of us are called to serve the one who sacrificed himself for us with such grace. You know, there's a story, and it all started with a shoe store clerk. A Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, in 1858, led a Boston shoe clerk to give his life to Christ. The clerk was Dwight L. Moody. He became an evangelist. He came to England in 1875. He awakened an evangelistic zeal in the heart of Frederick B. Meyer, a pastor of a small church. F.B. Meyer then went preaching to an American college campus, and he brought to Christ a man called J. Wilbur Chapman. Chapman was engaged in YMCA work, and he employed a former baseball player to work with him, Billy Sunday. And they went out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Billy Sunday held a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a group of local men were so enthusiastic afterwards that they planned another evangelistic campaign, bringing Mordecai Ham to a town to preach. And during Mordecai Ham's revival, a young man named Billy Graham heard the gospel, and he yielded his life to Christ. It may even be that there are people here this morning who came to Christ through the ministry of Billy Graham or one of his worldwide team of helpers. Only eternity will reveal the tremendous impact of that one shoe store clerk who invested his life in the life of others. And I am encouraging us to be like that shoe store clerk. I am encouraging us to be like Huldah, a story of God for the unexpected. Let restless grace tell you what God has for you and move you on and us together. Augustine sums it up like this in his Confessions as he reflects back on a life some 1600 years ago. Thou, Lord, hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. As the band comes, let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace. We thank you, Lord, that it is not grace that settles down, but it's restless till it finds itself in you. We pray, Lord, that as we sing this last song, our hearts will well with joy and commitment. We will move forward, Lord, in your purposes, individually, together as a church, for the kingdom of God, and that your Holy Spirit would anoint us with that ability and power and gifting to do all that you are calling us to today, so that we may, Lord, have that restless grace moving us on to the glory and name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.